Greetings and welcome to Fountain of Life Daily Inspirations. This is Brother Philip Hodson, and it's a blessing to be with you again today. And today is the seventh day of this series, as we will be closing up this series on God's great salvation. But I trust we will not be closing this chapter. I trust that your hearts have been encouraged to go forward with the Lord, to get more from Him and from His Word than you have gotten to this time, to lay hold of these great riches that Jesus Christ shed His blood to give to you and I, to apprehend all that for which Christ Jesus has apprehended you, to seek first and foremost and primarily and above everything else the kingdom of God and His righteousness, to hunger and thirst after righteousness that you may be filled, to embrace these great and precious promises that we see glaring at us and screaming to us through the Word of God and calling us and inviting us to get a hold of them. May we lay hold of these promises. I pray that your heart has been encouraged, and I pray the Word of God has become precious to you and that will become all the more precious. And I would encourage you, as you read the Word of God, let Him say what He says. Don't worry about what it means. Just listen to what it plainly says, and you will hear Him calling you higher and further and deeper. His word is very simple. His word is very plain for the most part. And if we will just believe Him and take Him at His word, we will find Him taking us places that we never dreamed possible. Today, as we close out this series, I would like to consider, why is it that Jesus came into this world? Why is it that it is today in much of the world, and definitely here in the United States, people are getting into the celebration of Christmas as manger scenes and nativities and these things come up and around. And you can go to stores and things and hear the music of hymns exulting, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come," and "God rest ye merry gentlemen," and the first Noel, and we can hear these proclamations of the birth of Christ all around us. But I would say that very few have even begun to get a grasp on why Jesus even came into the world. And out of the very few that have gotten a grasp of why He came into the world, very few have gotten a grasp in reality, in their own lives, in experience, to what Jesus shed His blood to give to us. So I'd like to close this little series with one verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and it's in verse 9. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Jesus was rich. He was rich with communion with the Father before the foundation of the world. He is the one who has no beginning. He was with the Father, and He and the Father were one in the glory that they had and they shared with one another. Jesus left when He came down to this world. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And the one who created all things came down to this world and left the glory of heaven to come down to this world, which was His footstool, for a reason. He left the riches He had, and He became poor. And not only did He become poor just in coming to this world, but He was born as the Virgin Mary. And He was born of a poor Virgin Mary who was betrothed to her spouse husband, Joseph. And they went to the city of Bethlehem for the census. And when they come there, there's no room for an inn. And so they go to a manger, a place where animals are fed and kept. And there she gives birth to her son. And they call His name Jesus. And she wraps the baby in swaddling clothes and lays him in a feeding trough in a manger. Oh, did He ever become poor? And if we look at His life all the way to the point of His death, and as you see the people casting lots for His garment there, and He gives responsibility for His mother away there at the cross, He had very little when He died because He lived the life of giving. He did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. He came so that through His poverty, you and I could be made rich. And I think it's very important that we get a grip on what riches Jesus has died to give to us. I'd like to just recount some of the things we've already spoken of and just consider a bit. You know, in this verse, Paul declares that Jesus was made rich, yet he himself became poor so that through his poverty we might be made rich. He knows what true riches are, and he knows whether or not you and I have them. So it's very important as we consider these verses, can we say, would God say that we have been made rich from what Jesus shed his blood to do for us? You know, we once were bankrupt sinners. And yet, if we have a man that is bankrupt and has a huge debt hanging over his head, and the one to whom he owes that debt forgives him of that debt, that man does not instantly become wealthy. That man didn't have a penny to his name to pay off his debt. He simply is no longer that far in the hole. But I want to say, Jesus did come. He does forgive us. He does pardon us for all of our sins and our transgressions. He forgives us for all of our debts to him. And yet, just being forgiven from debts does not make us wealthy. Jesus not only forgives us our debts, but he also wants to bestow upon us such grace and some such riches that we may be abundantly wealthy children of the King. He came not only to forgive us, but to redeem us and to restore us to all that was lost in Adam. And what are his riches which he so longingly desires to bestow upon you and I? We've talked about it already this week. Ephesians 2:18 says, he died that by one Spirit we have access to the Father. And in John 14:6 he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Access to his Father. Oh, this is riches indeed. The communion we saw with Jesus and his Father, he gives to you and I through his blood. And not only that, he gives us entrance into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus, as we see in Hebrews 10:19-20. By a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And this holiest of all, this holiest, holy of holies, is greater than the earthly temple and tabernacle that the high priest could only go into once a year after having made an offering for his own sins and for the sins of the people. Then he could go in once a year. And yet we are given open access to the holy of holies, which is not the earthly pattern, but is the reality of the heavenly tabernacle, of which the earthly was simply a pattern, patterned after. And we have access into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. The glory which he had with his Father, as we read yesterday in John 17:22, he gives to us the intimacy and communion which he knew with his Father. He gives to us that we might be one with him as he is one with the Father, that we might be one in them. The very love with which his Father loved him, John 17:23-26, he gives to us the love that says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, is his gift to you and I, that the Father can look on us just as we see him looking on his Son. And oh, if this reality doesn't give us this next thing, then this is also part of what he gives us, joy unspeakable and full of glory, 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom now ye see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And this joy is that which is in his Father's presence, as it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, Psalm 16:11. He gives a peace that passes all understanding, John 14:27, and Philippians 4:7 speak of this peace that he gives to his disciples. The love that passes all knowledge, the love beyond our ability to comprehend, Ephesians 3:19. All things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. Hope that will never disappoint us, Romans 5:5. Prayers that are answered in Scripture after Scripture after Scripture give these promises. John 14:13-14. John 15:7. John 15:16. And we can go on and on. 1 John 3:22. Luke 11:9. 1 John 5:14. Answered prayers are part of the riches Jesus came to give us. Lives abundant in fruit for his glory. The power of his resurrection, Philippians 3:10. The fullness of his Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Yea, and even all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:13. Truly, these are the true riches, as we see him speaking of in Ephesians 1:18, Ephesians 3:8, Philippians 3:19, Colossians 1:27, Colossians 2:2, Hebrews 11:26. and this is eternal life, as John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If a man has these riches, he is abundantly wealthy, though he is poor in this world's esteem, as we see in Revelation 2:9. And yet if a man lacks these true riches, and yet has all the treasures of this world, he is in utter poverty, as we see in the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3:17. Let us press on and labor, that we may apprehend and lay hold of all that for which Jesus has apprehended us, Philippians 3:12. Let us not labor for the perishing goods of this world, but for the riches which endure forever, which Jesus shed his precious blood to bestow upon us, John 6:27. Let us count all things as loss, that we might gain Christ, and all of his benefits and blessings which he shed his blood to give to you and I, Philippians 3:7-8. Jesus is worthy. He is worth it. Oh, may we lay hold of these great riches that Jesus has died to give us. Don't be satisfied with simply pardon for your sin, but lay hold of these exceeding great riches that Jesus shed his blood to pour out upon your life and mine, that the world may look at our lives and know that the Father sent the Son, that in our lives they may see the presence of God just as clearly as it was seen in the life of the Lord Jesus, that we may know the smile of God upon our lives just as Jesus knew, that the grace of God and the presence of God will flow through our lives into a lost and dying world around us. Then we are truly lights in this world. Oh, may God bless you. And it was a pleasure to be with you through this week. God bless you.